You know, one of the interesting things I love to do, and I don't, well, I've done it for a few years here. After Christmas, we will follow up at the day after Christmas, some things that went on after that. And we'll follow it all the way up until the eighth day that Jesus was 8 days old when he got dedicated to the Lord. So we'll follow it through that. So I love to do that, but I want to follow a little bit after Palm Sunday. Now, we know that last Sunday was Palm Sunday, just 2 or 3 days ago, and we celebrated when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. I started saying humble donkey, but Jesus was the humble one. The donkey would have been nothing without him. And so they entered in, and he didn't have to speak it, but they declared him the King of the Jews. And they shouted, Hosanna to the King, the one that came to save us. Okay? So he went in, they announced him King of the Jews, and everybody in the city, millions, were thrilled and excited to think that maybe they have seen the Messiah come in real life. Here he is. So I want to go to the next day then. They honored the king. And then in 4 days, we know the story, some were shouting, some of the same ones in that crowd were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. But there were still those who loved him and still honored him as king. So what happened on Monday? Okay, so, man, he is King of the Jews. So he is looking pretty good, Brother Danny. I mean, he is looking good. He's the king here. In fact, they wanted to make him king, and he said, no, you can't do that yet. And so on Monday, he went into the temple. I mentioned a little bit of it Sunday. Went into the temple. And so he went in there and preached. And he, you know, the Bible said Jesus preached and taught in parables. And without parables, he did not teach. He was a storyteller. And he kept it simple where everybody could understand. Because believe me, Jesus could have went full-fledged Pharisee or Sadducee and told you all about the law behind him. He could have done all of that. But he went in teaching these parables, and when he went in, he finished teaching, and then he walks out and he looks around the temple and he sees these people selling merchandise, buying and selling sacrifices or sacrificial pigeons and birds, and they're making money on the people of God. And they're making money on the widows, and they're making money on the people. Saying, buy this sacrifice, because you're going to have to go to Passover, and then you'll have a sacrifice. And they're charging them too much. And Jesus just flipped out. He just walked in, and, you know, in all of his power and strength, he just picked those tables up and flipped them over, and the money changers, their money spread all over the place, the Bible says. And if you read a commentary on those tables, it was made out of the hardest wood in Jerusalem. That wood was so hard, and so those tables weighed a ton. And a man, he must have had some strong arms, because he just flipped them up. Because he had a whip in one hand, the other hand. And he had made this whip himself, by the way. And I don't know, I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, wouldn't you just want to stir these people up and make them mad? I believe he did. I thought he said, no, I'll just, you know, they're acting like they're all this, you know, they're all Pharisees, Sadducees. They know the law better than anybody else. I'll just show them who's boss. And so he just flipped the tables over and took a whip. And the Bible says he whipped them out of the temple. That was a pretty good sermon I had the other day, for those of you that caught it, whenever we talked about maybe he would come into our heart and just whip things out of us that need to go out. I said, Jesus, just come on in and help me out, because some things are just hard for us to get rid of. So with a little help from him, how many know he can help us? Give us the grace. So he taught in the temple. Okay, so he turns the tables over. Everybody's scared after death. This king that they just anointed as king, and millions are worshiping him. And you know these leaders could have came and probably took him out, because you know it was in their heart to do it. But what happens? Everything calms down. Jesus walks out. I don't know if it calmed down, but he certainly walked out. And he went over to his best friend's house and spent the evening. as though nothing ever happened. Of course, he may have gotten over there and they talked about it and discussed it. I don't know. I don't think people just discussed whatever they wanted to with him. I think he was the conversation carrier, don't you? And so he goes over to Lazarus' house, whom he's going to raise from, who he had already raised from the dead. So he goes to Lazarus' house, and Mary and Martha are there, and he just has a good evening with them. And Mary and Martha prepare dinner, and so he's just there enjoying themselves. And while he was here, there, as usual, a crowd would gather around, and he declared himself the resurrection and the life. And what he was saying, he was telling them, prophesying or foreshadowing what who he was and who he was going to be and who they would see him become. He said, I am the resurrection. You'll see it. And I am the life. That's who I am. So now, after dinner, I'm not sure just when that was, but he declared himself the resurrection and the life. Okay, so then I told you I'd just give you a tad. And then we roll over to Tuesday because we'd be here for a month if I hit every one of these. So on Tuesday, he went back into the same temple. I told more parables. He talked to them about the kingdom of God. But this time, he also went into some Bible prophecy or future prophecy. And he talked about end times. Here's the way it's going to be during the end times. And then he talked about the kingdom of God and laid all of that out. And then he talked about hypocrisy. And he says to these guys, and he knows that they're after him. He knows they want to destroy him. And he says to them, you guys are nothing but hypocrites. He says, oh, the outside of the plate looks so clean, the outside of the cup, but the inside is just so filthy, dirty. I mean, he just tells them that right to their face. Okay, so that's on Tuesday. So he's still taking care of business. And the chief priest went out to arrest him. They wanted to arrest him because they said he's bragging and boasting about being the Son of God. And they said, well, are you? And he said, yes. At one point, they said, are you the Son of God? And he says, you say I am. I mean, he would just get smart with people. Well, if you say so. And they said, you know, we could put you under if we want to. We could snuff you out. And he said, hey, I have the power to lay my life down. And I have the power to take my life up. And you can't do anything unless my Father would allow you. So, I mean, he just knew how to handle himself. No one intimidated him. He just rose up. So the chief priest says, hey, we're going to arrest you. But they had to back off. Okay, let's look at that in Matthew. I may go to Matthew, probably Matthew, Luke, and John. And we're going to have communion in just a minute. So I just want us to have communion. So if we don't get to prayer tonight, we're going to revive ourselves on the word of this beautiful week. I wasn't going to read this, but I think I will read this part. Because, see, let me encourage you with this. There are times where the devil wants to form a weapon against you, but if God says it can't form, it won't. And you know our enemies in America would like to come against America and tear us down, and they're doing their... in fact, it's not the enemies from without, it's the enemies from within. And the only reason that they haven't shut the doors on the church and conservative people is because God has his hand over us. It's the only reason. All right, so they're after Jesus, and the chief priest went in and said, that's enough. We're going to have no more teaching in the temple. We don't want to hear about end time. We don't want to hear about the kingdom of God. So we're just going to plain come after you and arrest you. All right, let's see what happened. Did I say Matthew 21? Down about verse 45 and 46. See, and if you read above, you can read all the parables he brought. Verse 45, now when the chief priest and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. Oh, really? You think he was talking about you? Well, he probably was. He was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. There were more of the people of God than there were these Pharisees. And so they said, we better back off. So that's why I'm saying, church, in this hour, I believe the kingdom of God, which is the only thing on earth that can't be shaken, everything else will be shaken. And the kingdom of God is rising up. Okay, so they couldn't do it, so they just had to pull out. All right, so here comes Wednesday. By now, Jesus, his ministry has only been going on about, 3 years now, 2.5, 3 years. I mean, in real divine healings, miracles, not divine healings, miracles, raising people from the dead. Now his popularity is over the top. I mean, he's at the peak of his popularity. And the Jewish leaders, they were putting all the plans in place to crucify him, murder him, a plot to kill him, destroy him in one way or another. Man, they're going to get him at all cost. They're going to capture him, kill him. And they're pretty sure they're going to crucify him because that's really the way they wanted to go. But his Father in heaven said, no, you're not going to do that today either. Okay, I tell people that are dying, you are not going to go until he says. You're not going to go one day before, and you're not going to stay here one day after. You'll be right on time. So, not just talking about death, but talking about arrows that form and things that come to aggravate you and kill you and to try to destroy. All right, let's look at John. Let's see what he said. I love this part. John 11. Okay, look at John 11. Look at this 53. And from that day on, you got it? John 11, 53. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus, look at this. There's times where Jesus even changed his strategy. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? What do you think, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. Now, when you go and look at that verse 54, he no longer walked openly among the Jews. No, he went on out into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and he stayed there with his disciples. But let me tell you about some Christians today. They would have said, I'm the man of God. I'm going to stay right here, and they won't see me in the name of Jesus. And guess what happened? They would have just been taken out. But Jesus had great wisdom. He said, I don't have to put up with this. I don't know how he disappeared. He could disappear any way he wanted, but it did say he was with his disciples. Did he walk through walls? He could have just walked through crowds and not be seen. They would see his disciples, but, I mean, he could just walk through a crowd. So he just left. He didn't have to, because you know he had the authority of God the Father in him. He was God, but he was also 100% man. So he just walked out there, and they said, look, if anyone knows where Jesus Christ, or he's not the Christ yet, but if anyone knows where Jesus the prophet is, please let us know. Well, nobody really knew but the disciples, but guess who hung out with the disciples? Judas. Okay, and Jesus knew who Judas was. So there he is. This is Wednesday, and now they're going to come after him, but not yet. So they couldn't even take him yet. So now we'll come over to Thursday. And I won't read this because you know the story. But on Thursday, that's when the Last Supper happened. They're sitting there at the Last Supper. And remember, Jesus said, one of you sitting at this table is going to betray me. And they said, is it me? Is it me? Who is it? Who is it? He said, it'll be the one that dips your hand in this wine glass with me and dips your bread in it. That's the one. And come to find out, it was Judas. Okay, so that all happened. And during that time, remember, Jesus, they were sitting at the table having Last Supper for Jesus. And he took his towel and he washed the disciples' feet. Remember that? He washed their feet, dried it with a towel that he had on his body. And then Judas did betray him for 30 pieces of silver. What a money lover. And he said he denied him. Well, and then you know the story. On Thursday, Peter said, Jesus, I would never betray you. In fact, I think it was on Wednesday night. Peter said, I would never do that. I'll never betray you. And Jesus said, Peter, by the time that rooster crows three times, you will have denied me three times. So don't you be bragging on how holy you are. Because he said, I know who you are too. And sure enough, things came around. And on Thursday, everything began to change. And by that Friday, after the betrayal, the chain of events began to happen, and it went real quickly then. Oh, it was bad up to this point. Jesus was being talked about and ridiculed, but he was still okay. But they were after him, and I believe his people grew closer. But then on Good Friday, after Peter betrayed him, after Judas especially betrayed him, they took him immediately to Cephas, the Jewish high priest. And he got there, and after that, he went to Pontius Pilate. You know the story there. And then he took him to Herod. So they went all through, and I believe it was Pontius Pilate that says, I find no fault in this man. You guys have brought him to me as an evil shyster, as a criminal, and I find no fault in him. And then Herod said, well, you know what, let's just send him over and let them whip him. Just let them give him a hard beating, and we'll deal with it then. Okay, so let's look at that in Luke 22:63, I think. Yeah, look at this, Luke 22:63. Now the men who held Jesus held him. They were holding him at the whipping post. They mocked him. Oh, not at the whipping post yet. They mocked him and they beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy. Who struck you on the face? Who is the one who struck you on the face? Prophesy and tell us which one of us did that. And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. Now, if you read some other one of the other Gospels, you'll see where they plucked out his beard. They was pulling his beard out. But right here, I want you to see this, because they wanted him to prophesy and say, who did that to you? But Jesus wasn't intimidated by that. And he said, he wouldn't say anything. The Bible says he just, in one point, in John, they were taking him to the cross. And he said he just walked along as a lamb going to slaughter, just in silence. And so he went, and they did many other blasphemous things, and they spoke against him. Okay, so that was Luke 22. And then let's go over to, stay in verse, are you in 23? Go to chapter 23. Read this whole thing on Friday, okay, because it's Good Friday. And can I remind you right here on Good Friday, please, I'm going to show you that they hung him on the cross at about noon, and about 3 o'clock it went dark. So 3 o'clock's when he died. So you might want to give him some thought, or I don't know if you want to fast your lunch meal, but give him thought. You might have communion with him on the cross. I know it's without a doubt not that day, but at least we can honor a day like we do our own birthday. So go back to chapter 23. And then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting. Can you imagine? We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying he himself is Christ, a king." Go down to verse 11. "And then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt. They mocked him, and they arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. The very day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been enmity against each other." See, they were enemies, but now, because they had a companion, they had a partner in crime, they became very good friends. So watch who you become friends with. Verse 16, remember when Herod said, Pontius Pilate, "I have no fault. I find no fault in this man concerning those things." Verse 16, "I will therefore chastise him and release him." And then he's thinking, okay, I'll use a little psychology on these people, and I'll offer them a murderer, and they will say, "Give us Jesus. He's an innocent man. Surely they won't take the murderer." Verse 16, "I will therefore chastise him," or beat him, what we just read, "and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man," talking of Jesus, "release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out, but they shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then he said to them the third time, "What? Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with a loud voice that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, the Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Verse 33, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him with the criminals, and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the other hand, or on the left hand. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And in an inscription also written over him in the letters of the Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, on that cross said this: "This is the King of the Jews." So, verse 44, this is what I'm asking you to do on this Good Friday. Verse 44, now, it was about the sixth hour, or noonish, about noon, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, or till 3 p.m., 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having this, he breathed his last breath. He breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly," the centurion said this, "certainly this was a righteous man," one of the soldiers. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breasts and returned, But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee, they stood off at a distance watching these things. Okay, so we'll stop right there. We're not going to talk about, if you want to know, you could read this at home when you get home. There were, some say there were 27 prophecies fulfilled on the cross that day. 27, just in those 3 hours, 27 prophecies fulfilled. I don't know. I haven't counted them. And there's a lot of people say different things, so I won't elaborate on that. But I will say this, write this down. Read, if you want to see a huge prophecy by King David, read Psalms 22. It's as though King David was there on that cross. God was speaking to him. It was the inspirational word of God through the prophet. So you read Psalms 22, and it's as though Jesus is speaking himself. He tells everything that Jesus will say. He even says he looked down. It says Jesus looked down, and he could see his bones in his flesh. He was beaten so bad. And it's true. Jesus could look down and see his ribs, his arms, his bones. And then read Isaiah 53. In my Bibles, all of my Bibles, Isaiah 53, I have a heart around the whole chapter of Isaiah 53. You know why? Because that's the heart of the Bible. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, he was chastised for us. So stop somewhere on Friday and remember he was nailed to a cross for us. He was separated from the Father. He took our sins. And on Saturday, some people call Saturday Silent Saturday. You know why they call it that? Because it was very quiet in Jerusalem, in Israel that day. Of course, it was the Sabbath, so it was always a little quieter on the Sabbath. But I got to say this. I think that his disciples were probably somewhere away hiding, afraid they were going to get crucified as well if they related to him. And then, of course, Mary and the other Marys and the people who loved him were home grieving, wondering, will his words come to pass? He said he would get up. He said he was a resurrection. Will he come up out of the grave? See, it was Saturday, but Sunday was coming. The first day of the week was coming. And so whatever you're waiting on, it may be Friday. You may not be seeing anything. It may be a silent time for you. It's silent for Vivian right now. It's silent, and you know none of us are going through that kind of serious thing, but it may be Saturday for something you need, but Sunday's coming. I remember, and I'll close here, Judy and I were little girls, and little tiny girls, and we were in some store, and there were some red cowboy boots, and I always loved cowboy boots, even as a little girl. And there were those little red boots. And I said, Judy, look at those boots. We must have been four and, maybe she was three and, four, five, six, I don't know. And so I went home and I told Daddy, I said, Daddy, we saw those red boots down there, downtown. Can we get those red boots? And he said, oh, I'll get them on payday. I'll get them when I get paid. I'll get them. I can't get them now. I don't have the money to get them now. We told all of our brothers and sisters. I remember my aunt was babysitting us. We told her, we're getting those boots. We're going to get some red cowboy boots. How do you know? And I said, because Daddy said when he gets paid, he's going to get them for us. See, it was, I don't know what day it was, but payday was coming. And it's Friday. It's Saturday. You guys know how it is? You know how it is. We get on those days where you think, oh, my God, how can I wait this thing out? And yet Sunday's coming. Hallelujah.